Welcome to God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith. I'm your host, Chuck Groover. And this week, we are going to talk about the church and her holiness. And it kind of came to mind for me to talk about this after last month when I talked about how our holiness is actually an act of thanksgiving. And when looking at the church and her holiness, there's actually two questions that we need to ask. First, what is holiness exactly? And then once we figure out what holiness is, the next question is, why is it important? So first, let's look at what holiness actually is. And to understand holiness, we first need to define what the word holy actually means. And some things that come to mind when we think of holy is like God, perfect living, being sinless, things like that. And another question is, what comes to mind when we actually apply holiness to the church? Well, in his book titled Holiness, J.C. Ryle actually states a list of what holiness is not. Holiness is not knowledge, as was shown by Balaam. It was not great profession of faith, as we see with Judas Iscariot. It was not doing many good things. Herod made a marvelous temple for God, but he was not holy. It was not morality or outward respectability. Look at the rich young ruler that we encounter in the Gospels. It's not listening to good preaching. And it's not keeping company with godly people. I've also heard one person talking about, besides like not just sitting in church or things like that, or just hanging out with Christians that makes you a Christian, he also mentioned just being baptized doesn't make you a Christian, doesn't make you holy. It just means if you're not saved, you're going to sizzle. Well, holiness is actually not really a specific action on our part. I should have pulled up the Bible. In fact, 1 Peter 1:2 actually states that we are set apart by the Spirit. Pull up that scripture where it says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. And basically, essentially, our holiness is not reliant on anything regarding us, but is actually more based on God declaring us as holy. The 21st century theologian Lecrae actually put it like this: in one of his songs, he actually starts out by mentioning the Greek and Hebrew words used in the Bible to describe either the word saint or holy, and after stating that, he says, "It means to be holy, not holy on our own part, but holy because of Christ in us. So now that we have seen what holiness is not, I want to propose a look at what holiness actually is through looking at actually the book of 1 Peter. You see, throughout the book of 1 Peter, Peter is actually instructing the church on how they should live in the face of persecution. And the reasoning behind the Christians' actions is because of the hope that they have. So, how does this look? Well, first, it's striving to be more like Christ. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2, which states, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God." Let me pull up a different translation. Kind of doing this on the fly. Right. That was NIV. ESV is fairly similar. "Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God." It also means to endeavor to sin less and keep the commandments. 1 Peter 1:13 "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And then I'll, 13, okay, I'll go on to 16. "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" And also, on that same vein, 1 Peter 2, 1, then 11 through 17. "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander." That was verse 1, then 11 through 17. "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject to the Lord, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." Remember, this is Peter writing to basically the church in Rome at the time when Rome was persecuting Christians. And he's telling them to honor the emperor. But also not to use our Christian freedom as a way of covering up evil, we're still to do good. Our holiness also should be showing a love for each other. 1 Peter 2:22 and 23. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. Our holiness is also another kind of theme it seems like I'm always hitting on, is our humility, as shown in 1 Peter 5:5-7. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. And then, basically a real good summation of what our holiness is through the eyes of Peter in 1 Peter is to look at chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And it's actually right after this passage we find pretty much where I find probably one of the best definitions of what our holiness is, and that's 1 Peter 3:15. And to kind of put it in perspective, I'll read, actually, verses 13 through 17. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you, for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. So, and I know 1 Peter 3:15 is one of those verses that gets used in a lot of ways. It's used for, actually, the Christian study of what's called apologetics, which is defending our faith. I've seen it used as a call for, actually, evangelism. But so rarely do we actually focus on with the whole, and that's all based on the being prepared to give a defense. Basically being able to share our faith. But you hardly ever hear them actually focusing on the what it is we're actually defending, which is actually our holiness. So when Peter states in 3:15 that we should be prepared to give a defense for our hope, it's actually because our holiness is the outward manifestation of our hope. In other words, as I believe I'd mentioned when I talked about holiness as our thanksgiving. The way I define, one way to look at our holiness, or the church's holiness, is that it should be our outward, the outward manifestation of our hope within. So now, that's what our, what holiness is. So, why is the church's holiness important? Well, the first thing is that God commands it. 1 Peter 1:15. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. And then going on through to verse 16, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. It's also a sound evidence of our saving faith in Christ. Look at James 2, 14 through 26. Let me pull that up. Right. What good is it, my brothers, if basically it's that whole faith and works passage. If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you the faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works, when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as a body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. And then also, another passage that talks about how our holiness is sound evidence in of our saving faith in Christ is Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, which is often the passage some will use to state Paul contradicts James. So let me bring that passage up, which states, I have most of it memorized, but to make sure I get the wording right, right. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, the works that both James and Paul talk, that James is talking about in James 2, 14 through 26, are the same good works that Paul mentions in Ephesians 2, 10. And a lot of the people that talk about you're not saved by works, completely faith alone, and they try to push out any sort of need for striving for holiness, they tend to ignore Ephesians 2:10, where it's talking about even though we're not saved by works, we should have these good works that show and prove our salvation. It's also proof of our love for Christ. I won't go into reading these verses, but in the book of John, Jesus mentions multiple times the same sentiment, really. And it's the wording basically is, my paraphrase is, Jesus saying, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. There's John 14:15, 14:21, 14:23, and 15:14 are all cases where Jesus is basically stating that the way we show our love for him is keeping his commands. There's in Christian circles, there's those books, The Five Love Languages, which they have them written for just about every walk of life, married, single, working with kids, working with teens. And I would say if what our holiness is basically the acts of service, expression of love, love language. Basically, in John, Christ is saying, one way to speak my love language is acts of service. Although, to an extent, I think God probably speaks all five love languages, but the one specifically mentioned in the Bible that I know of really is the acts of service. Also, when you look at it, our holiness might actually be the only gospel that some people we encounter may be open to. Back to 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. See, even though Peter was talking to wives who basically were married to unbelieving husbands, the same is true for basically anyone. There's some people, they're not going to be open to hearing you preach the gospel, but if they see you living out the gospel, basically living out the hope that's within, they're going to eventually probably question you about that hope that you're expressing. And that's where 1 Peter 3:15 comes in about being prepared to give a defense for the hope within. And also, and finally, and this is where I'll end us off, our holiness on earth prepares us for holiness in heaven. See, as a Christian, we can't look at it as being, I'm saved and I'll go to heaven and live like the world while we're still here in the world and expect to suddenly be able to be holy when we're in heaven. Because it would pretty much just be full out misery for that. Our striving towards becoming more and more holy, living out that hope within, becoming more Christ-like, showing a love for each other, living in humility, basically, us working towards that by becoming holy is how we will be prepared for when we do get in heaven, of being more like as close to Christ as we can be, being sinless, having that love for each other, being completely humble, where there is no place of pride at all. So, again, this is Chuck Groover on The Church and Her Holiness, and that's God at Work. Thank you for listening to God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at God at Work Podcast. If you have comments, suggestions, or a story you would like to be considered for the podcast, you can email us at stories@godatworkpodcast.com. If you enjoy this podcast and want to help support us, go to patreon.com/godatworkpodcast, or you can also support us by leaving us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith, is brought to you by Becoming God's Man Ministries, and is recorded and produced by me, Chuck Groover. Theme music for God at Work is by the band 39 Stripes, and can be found at facebook.com/39stripes. And again, thank you for listening.